VECO employees testified today in the trial of Senator Ted Stevens that they spent hundreds of hours working on his Girdwood home. A bookkeeper with the company also testified that she was instructed not to keep a paper trail on expenses in Girdwood. The government is building its case in federal court that Senator Stevens took hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gifts, including the house renovation, and didn't report them on his Senate financial disclosure forms. APRN reporter Libby Casey is covering the trial and joins us from Washington. Hi, Libby.
Hi, Lori.
Libby, it sounds like there were quite a few witnesses for the prosecution today. What details did they give?
Six out of the seven witnesses who've testified so far, today and yesterday, worked for VECO, and all but one of them worked at Stevens' Girdwood home. Witnesses pointed out in photos of his house the exact work they did. One of them is Roy Detmer, who lives in Colorado, and he said over about 4 months, starting in the year 2000, he wired the Stevens' house, installed phone lines and outside lighting fixtures. Now, here's how he got paid to work at the house. He would clock in at a VECO job site in the port of Anchorage and then drive 45 minutes south to Girdwood to work on the Stevens house. At the end of the day, he'd drive all the way back to the port to clock back out again. He told the court he worked 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. Other men testified about work they did at the house in 1999 and 2000. And yesterday we heard from a VECO employee who designed the plans for Stevens' house.
Libby, did any of the VECO workers see Stevens out at the job site?
Well, the employee who designed the house had a lunch with Stevens to talk about the project, but none of the other men ever saw the senator out at the house, although one of them did see his wife, Catherine.
The Stevens couple did pay some bills on the house, but not to VECO.
That's right. They paid about $160,000 to Christensen Builders of Anchorage. The prosecutors say that was just for part of the work on the house. One of the Christensen Builders employees testified today. Mike Luther talked about how he saw a lot of VECO employees on the job site and answered to one of them who was acting as the foreman. One piece of evidence was a punch list, and that's a list of work remaining on a project. Luther had jotted the list down on VECO stationery that he just found lying around, and it was one of those visual images that the prosecution is using to try and give the picture that VECO was all over the project.
And what about the bookkeeper who was told not to leave a paper trail about the expenses out at Girdwood?
Well, Cheryl Boomershine was in accounting at the company, and one of the government prosecutors had her explain a lot of the VECO paperwork, like receipts and invoices. The prosecutor pointed out wages on the books of people who worked in Girdwood, which had its own code. And the prosecutor asked, well, did VECO have any oil field service projects in Girdwood? And Boomershine said, no. Also, the only checks from Stevens to VECO during that period were reimbursements for chartered trips. There were no checks paying for the work on the Girdwood house. The most interesting piece of evidence was a handwritten note on the back of, like, an expense sheet. Boomershine had written, what is this and why? And the answer she got back from a colleague in writing was Girdwood and no paper trail per Bill Allen. Now, he was VECO's CEO and in charge of the company.
How did the defense team respond to that?
They pointed out that the person who signed off on all the invoices and other Girdwood expenses was Allen, that it was his responsibility. And they're setting up an argument that it was Bill Allen who was manipulative and in charge of the paperwork and the bills.
Libby, is there any word on when we'll hear from Bill Allen?
Well, we found out this evening that it looks like Monday. The government said tonight that they would call him as a witness when court resumes next week. He's expected to be central to their case, and we anticipate hearing wiretapped conversations between Allen and Senator Stevens. We had some fireworks in the courtroom today, Lori, not in front of the jury and not involving Stevens, but from the judge directed to the prosecutors. The case is moving along faster than the government apparently predicted, so they're scrambling to get witnesses here from Alaska and other places. And the judge is usually very even-keeled, but he was angry tonight and admonished them about wasting people's time. And he said if the government wasn't prepared to call more witnesses, there may be no more witnesses and their case could be over. Well, they were able to juggle flights and people's schedules and said they will be ready next week. And they are already prepared to call Bill Allen. The defense, on the other hand, had hoped for a delay in calling Allen as a witness. because they're still trying to get a hold of his medical records about a motorcycle accident that damaged part of his brain back in 2001. It left him with like a speech problem, and the defense team wants experts to look at his medical records and see if they can argue that his cognitive abilities are compromised.
Libby, Alaska is, of course, at the heart of this case, but it's so far from Washington. How has that been for jurors to grasp?
Well, there's a lot of explaining of things that would be basic to an Alaskan jury, you know, about the importance of generators and about car plug-ins and the geography of the state. And there are also a lot of explanations about construction work terms. And you see how language comes into play in the court. And just talking about Girdwood is kind of loaded. You know, the prosecution calls it a ski town and refers to Stephen's house as the chalet, which is what he called it at times. The defense told jurors that, first of all, no, the house was a modest A-frame and that Girdwood is nothing like a ritzy ski town like Aspen. Instead, they described it more as a small neighborly community where the roads aren't even paved. So they're both painting very different pictures in the jurors' minds.
All right, Libby, thank you for that update.
Thanks a lot, Lori.
APRN's Libby Casey reporting from Washington, D.C.